93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. I am Lante. He is Jeremy Warner. It is the Tay and Jay Show. We welcome in from Sports Illustrated, Joe Lemire. And Joe, the last time I was around you, I was interrupting your interview with Chris Carpenter. You were sitting there thinking, who is this guy? And I thought, well, Joe, sorry about that.
I was a little puzzled, but good to meet your acquaintance.
No, it was funny because you know how in spring training, that was my first time down there, and I was trying to figure out, you know, all right, what do we do? And I saw you talking to Chris, and I thought, I'm not sure if we're supposed to butt in because there weren't a lot of media, but I thought, I'm just going to go over there.
Are you just calling yourself unprofessional?
I am. I'm doing it, Joe, so I apologize.
As it is, I kind of broke a little protocol as well. I didn't realize that Carpenter was that day's starting pitcher, so I shouldn't have approached him in the first place. So there were taboos broken all over.
All right, that's good.
A lot of secrets of the clubhouse, aren't there, Joe?
There is quite a bit of protocol and etiquette. It's true. It takes a little while.
Well, Joe, it's the year of the pitcher. Last year, Sports Illustrated, you guys came out with a huge cover where it was the year of the pitcher. You know, we had so many great pitching performances last year, but two no-hitters, wow. And I think of a span of about 3 or 4 days last week. Is this just a sequel to last year?
Yeah, it is. And in fact, I wrote something a few weeks ago and sort of examined that it's in the last about 18 or 19 years, 2011 is off to a start in which we're seeing the fewest runs, the worst average on base and slugging percentages, the fewest home runs, the fewest walks, and the most strikeouts. So pretty much every meaningful offensive stat is favoring pitchers more now than it has in pretty much any time in the last two decades. And then obviously part of that is simply, you know, this is the testing era, so hitters aren't quite as strong and prolific and cartoonish, really, as they used to be. It's like the last few years we've been seeing teams focus a lot more on defense, that athletic two-way player who, you know, now that slugging isn't such a major factor, teams aren't just hiding these guys who should be playing DH in corner outfield spots. They're getting guys who can really man the position and cover a lot of ground. And in baseball, there's always been the pitch in vogue has always been in coming in cycles. You have like the split finger fastball in the 80s, the circle change in the 90s, and the cutter has been the big pitch of the last decade. And for whatever reason, it seems to be taking hitters a little bit longer to catch up to that the way they did to many of the other pitches. And the last point is I think there's been so much emphasis on the development of young pitchers, the monitoring of pitch counts, and advances in the medicine of protecting young arms. And when they do need to open up and do surgery, it's so much more effective than it used to be, so that most of the pitchers with the best stuff, the best velocity, the best movement, are making it to the majors and contributing, you know, more consistently and they are more healthy than they have been in years past.
Talking with Joe Lemire from Sports Illustrated. And Joe, I was going to say, is it a rise in talent? Is that part of it? Or is it just the steroids? But you kind of hit it there.
Yeah, I think, you know, it is sort of a rise in talent, not necessarily that there are more talented pitchers now, but I think there are more talented pitchers making it to the majors, and that in years past, in decades past, you know, so maybe scouts weren't finding the best guys, and now there's so many more scouts and so much better video breakdown that their teams are able to identify who has the most promise. And then once they get in these minor league systems, there's so much more emphasis on developing them in a certain way that prepares them for the major leagues. And when there are setbacks in terms of injury, they have the medicine to treat them. So I think it's not so that there's more overall talent. It's hard to know that. But I think there's more talented pitchers actually making it to the majors.
And Joe Lemire of Sports Illustrated, no doubt, without a doubt, you picked the Cleveland Indians to jump out of the gate strong, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What is going on?
I'd like to tell everybody.
Yeah, what is going on in Cleveland? I mean, that is a good squad.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly playing well, and what's surprising, you know, is that a lot of people thought Carlos Santana and Sinshu Chu would be their two best hitters, and they've actually been the ones sort of bringing down a lot of their averages so far. So, you know, if the two of them come around and play to the potential that they're capable of, then all of a sudden this Indians team could be even more formidable, which is hard to believe for a team that's already 22-11.
But, Joe, I mean, I think we're getting to that time of year where we see the contenders separate themselves from the pretenders. What teams are you kind of buying right now that will stay at the top?
Well, I think it's a little early for that separation point just yet. I went back over the last sort of 5 years or so, looked at the teams that were in first place at the beginning of May. And in the last 5 years, I think there have been years where only one of the team of the six division leaders actually made the playoffs at the end, and there were other years where it was four or five. And so it's probably a little early to say that we're looking at what's how the season's really going to shape up. And you know, the Indians, it's hard to doubt what they've done so far, but I'm not completely sold because I know how talented the White Sox are and the Tigers are. And I know the Twins probably have too many injuries to really make a run, but frankly, even the Royals are hanging around, and
right.
They've only just barely begun calling up their best prospects.
Talking to Joe Lemire, covers baseball for Sports Illustrated. And Joe, you talked about the White Sox and their talent level, but is this the team that you just sit there and go, huh? Is that the team in the major leagues that's got you most puzzled right now?
Yeah, absolutely. In truth, they were my AL Central pick in the preseason. I thought that the addition of Adam Dunn would give them even more power. He would sort of give them a left-handed bat that would strike a little more fear in their opponents, and sort of change the way that they used their patterns of relief pitching. And I thought he might sort of bring a little bit more plate discipline that would sort of rub off on some of the younger guys. And certainly I thought Gordon Beckham would figure out what was going wrong last year and turn it around, which I know Dunn and Beckham have started to hit a little bit more in the last few days. But the other major problem has been that bullpen. And then, I know that there is more to closing and pitching in the ninth inning than some, like, true stat heads think there is. But it didn't seem to be such a unique skill that guys with the track record of, say, Matt Thornton, who was an all-star as a setup man last year, wouldn't be able to handle it. Yet, with him and then Chris Sale both going far below expectations, the White Sox bullpen has been a mess and certainly cost them a few wins.
And Joe, one of the teams we cover strongly, besides the White Sox and the Cubs, is the Cardinals. And even yesterday, Kyle McClellan throws a gem through eight, gives up a hit to Cecil Fielder. I'm sorry. Did I just say Cecil Fielder?
You're aging
Prince
yourself.
Fielder. I am. I'm aging myself. And the next thing you know, the bases are loaded, and here we go again in the ninth inning. It's amazing how that ninth inning has become so difficult to shut down.
Yeah, it has. At least the Cardinals and Eduardo Sanchez have, a good promising young arm, and Mitchell Boggs has done well, even when Ryan Franklin wasn't able to handle that inning.
Right.
But I think part of that also is with Dave Duncan. I don't think I would doubt. I think he'd be able to resurrect my pitching career. I haven't thrown since high school JV games, but I think if I showed up in camp with Dave Duncan, I'd be closing games.
Well, what do you think of the Cardinals so far and the Cubs while we're at it? I mean, the Cardinals, without a win from Wainwright, who, of course, is out for the year, and Carpenter, they're five games over 500 in first place in that division.
Yeah, the Cardinals are certainly exceeding my expectations, which probably means I should be getting out of the prognostication business, given how many times I've already said that today. But I think Lance Berkman is a key reason why. When he came to the Yankees last year, he was basically reduced to a platoon player. He couldn't really hit from the right side of the plate anymore. He had enough injury problems that he wasn't a very effective fielder. And here the Cardinals were making him a starting outfielder for the first time since 2004. And he didn't even really play much in the spring because of various injuries. Yet Lance Berkman has gone out there and been twice already, I believe, the National League Player of the Week. I think he's the Cardinals have lacked a lot of offense the last few years beyond, say, that top two, Pujols and Holiday. The fact that they're able to extend the middle of the order an extra slot with a real feared hitter, Holiday and Berkman both flirting with 400, I think that's been the key reason the Cardinals are ahead in contention is they, could keep up even most of that. They should be in the pennant chase until September.
Talking with Sports Illustrated baseball reporter Joe Lemire. And Joe, you talk about the Cardinals-Cubs rivalry. It's big around here. We're about halfway from St. Louis and Chicago. And on a national scale, you bring that perspective. What is that rivalry like? Where do you think it ranks in terms of in the Major League Baseball with all the rivalries?
Well, it's certainly in the top the top echelon. It's hard to, I know I'll be getting hate mail forever if I pick one rivalry to be more than another, but,
right.
Certainly Dodgers, Giants, Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, Cardinals, those are, among probably the top three, of teams in the same leagues. Obviously you have like the Yankees, Mets, but that's sort of a fabricated interleague thing, a promotion Major League Baseball does just to sell tickets, in a lot of these markets with two teams. I do think that's a fierce rivalry. I think it hasn't been what it could be in the last few years because the Cubs have underperformed. I do like some of their young players. Certainly Starlin Castro, who was on SI's cover just last week, is the most promising of them for Chicago. And I think in a few years that'll balance out a little.
And Joe, I'm a huge reader of Sports Illustrated, and I know you don't have anything to do with editorial decisions, but with the NBA, NHL playoffs, everything that's going in the NFL, the draft a couple weeks ago, Starlin Castro on the cover?
Yeah, I know that confused some people, but we'd had two NBA playoff covers already this spring. We'd had a cover for the NFL draft the week before the draft. You know, I think having baseball on the cover did make a lot of sense. And, you know, it was, you know, the Cubs unfortunately lost a few games just before that cover was released, which, you know, as a weekly magazine, you know, it's a little hard to plan enough ahead to have a few different options. But, you know, I didn't see what all the fuss was about. I think he's a promising young star that most people outside of the Midwest don't know much about. And, you know, the playoffs and draft have had their fair share.
I just think Cubs fans took a collective breath when they saw that the jinx, I guess, that goes on with what they said.
Well, I wrote a Carl Crawford SI for Kids cover story this spring. Look at the start he got off to. So apparently it's not just the main magazine that's jinxing people.
Joe Lemire, Sports Illustrated, I have one final question. As a guy that's gotten Sports Illustrated pretty much my entire life, how do you pick each time where you're going for your stories, et cetera? Is that kind of up to you, or how does that work in where you're going next to do what stories next?
It's a pretty collaborative process for between stories that I pitch and think would be worth doing and what my editors think would resonate with the readers. Certainly, we travel a ton in spring training to make sure everyone's so concentrated. It's easy to see as many of the teams as possible, and certainly the playoff games are of such importance that I'm on the road for all of October as well. In between, it's a little, you know, we kind of pick the stories that are worth spending the travel budget on, and, you know, it's just sort of what team is hot, but not just who's hot at the moment. It's the teams that we think will sustain it, and similarly for players, if they're approaching a major milestone, those are the times where, you know, we feel like we need to add our voice as well.
Well, Joe Lemire, Sports Illustrated, I know it's a pastime of everyone. When they get that Sports Illustrated, I don't care how old I am, I'm still excited to get it, look on that cover, and see who's on it. You guys do a great job. And, Joe, it was fun to meet you down at spring training, and we really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Yeah, likewise. Good to meet you. Thanks for having me.
All right,
thanks,
Joe Lemire, thank you very much of Sports Illustrated. And good kid, good guy. And it's true. I mean this when I say this. I'm 40 years old now, and I cannot wait each week to get my Sports Illustrated to see who's on the cover. I just read the Starlin Castro story today. And I mean, I'm always about a week behind, it seems, on Sports Illustrated. But it's fun to get. It's fun to read. They do a great job.
Well, and the depth of reporting in there. I mean, some of the best writers, some of the best reporters in the business. You know, every story is unbelievable. And I think back to one that you loved as a Arizona Cardinals fan, that Jake Plummer story. Yeah. I think back to, and just the angles they take on the story. Jake Plummer is a handball player now. You know, doesn't care about football anymore. Or, you know, runs into somebody who says, you know, you don't have to pay for this or whatever. And he says, don't worry, I played in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. I can handle it.
I can handle this monetarily.
Well, it's cool. And you can, I mean, that could be a topic for an entire show. What were some of your favorite Sports Illustrated articles? There's been a lot. I know they recently did one on Stan Musial, and I was almost in tears reading it. I thought it was just, it was about a guy that is so captivating to Cardinals fans. And to read the article, it was so well done. It was good stuff, and I've said it a lot. I'm promoting them, and this isn't fair, probably, but that SI, what is it, SICovers.com. I mean, if you're looking for a Father's Day gift, I mean, you go to that SICovers.com. You can order any cover and get it framed. And it's awesome.
You want that D. Brown cover? Remember,
exactly.
It's March Madness
popping.
With him popping the shirt. Jeff George was on the cover when he was a big-time player for Illinois. So, I mean, SI obviously stands on its own. But one story they might be writing soon is about Phil Jackson.
Yes.
Possibly retiring. Is it his last game? And if it is, where would you rank him as coaches? Ooh. I mean, we have this Mount Rushmore of presidents. Is he one of the top four coaches of all time of any sport, of any level? What do you think? 359 call, 217-359-2255. Where does Phil Jackson rank on your list of coaches of all time?
Ooh, let me think about that. Back next, Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.